Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight, if we could, and we'll turn in them once again to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, and once you find your place there, let's do stand together again tonight for the reading of Scripture, and we'll read the six verses once again aloud together. Psalm 23, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Once we pray, we'll have Brother Scheffler give us another special tonight. That was a blessing already, wasn't it? And then, of course, we're looking forward to hearing Pastor Scheffler bring the Word of God to us again tonight. What a help this conference has been, and this revival time. And let's pray that God will have His will and way in our hearts tonight, that God's Word would accomplish His purpose in our hearts. Father, we thank You again for the great privilege we have to be here. And Lord, we thank You for bringing Pastor Scheffler here. And Lord, You've already used him in such a mighty way. We thank You for him and what a choice servant of Yours he is. And God, we pray that You would bless Your Word tonight to our hearts. I pray that we'd hear tonight exactly what You would have us to hear. And then God, please, I pray that each of us would act upon it and do exactly what You'd have us to do. We pray that everything that's said and done would uplift and glorify Jesus Christ. And Lord, we need You tonight. We know without You we can do nothing. We'll thank You for what You do. We'll give You all the praise, the honor, and glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If God's been good in your life, can you say amen? He's been a good God, hasn't He? He's been a good God. Tonight, we are going to look at two areas of God's goodness in our life. That is, His protection and His provision. Now, let me tell you something about our God. Our God loves to provide for us. And our God loves to protect us. He, you know, sometimes we think, oh, Lord, it's me again. Lord, I need provision again. It's not like God goes, oh, man, not you asking for provision. The Lord wants to give us provision. The Lord wants to give us protection. He wants to be that Jehovah shepherd to us. I know around our house, every once in a while, my wife will come into the other room. I'll be watching a ball game or something like that, and she'll be carrying a jar of pickles. And she'll say, honey, can you help me? Now, I'm on the couch, and I got to go through my little thing, you know, like, oh, Mary Lee, can't you open it yourself? No, honey, I just can't. I said, well, honey, I'm watching a game. Oh, come, bring it here to me, you know. And she brings it over to me, and I open it up, and I said, here you go, honey. Oh, thank you, Jim. You're so strong. I said, yeah, it was nothing. It was nothing. And you know what? I love open pickle jars for my wife because I can do something she can't. And you know what? I like that. And I want to tell you something. Our shepherd loves opening up our pickle jars. I mean, when we say, God, I got myself in a pickle, Lord. Lord, I need Your help. God, can You? You know what? Our Lord loves to say, hey, give me that. Give me that. Come here. Let me take care of that for you. Tonight, I want you to see two things about our God. I want you to see His incredible protection, and then I want you to see His unbelievable provision for us. Psalm 23 is where we've been since Sunday morning. The Lord is my shepherd. We have seen a uniquely qualified, extremely interested shepherd in this completely surrendered and perfectly satisfied sheep. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. I don't like to lie down. There's got to be a lot of conditions around. He's got to take care of all those fears and those frustrations. He's got to get all those foes out and all that friction out before I'm ever going to lay down. And then He'll put me in those green pastures that I'm going to be able to enjoy the things that God has provided for me. And beside the still water, that water on the dew in the morning that I get from His Word. He restoreth my soul. Oh man, even a perfect shepherd will have sheep that need to be restored. And then He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And we learned last night that the paths of righteousness are the precepts and the principles and the promises of God's Word. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. And the reason why He does it is for His name's sake. The reason why God loves us isn't because we're lovely. It's because of His love for us. And boy, we've heard that song. By the way, my favorite hymn is "And Can It Be?" And you guys did a great job singing that tonight. That's amazing to me who our God is. Now, we're going to try to do two verses together tonight. And we've been going pretty slow, so this is going to be amazing tonight. But I want you to see the protection and the provision of our shepherd. Now, in verses 1, 2, and 3, you kind of get an idea, like two sheep are at a watering hole somewhere, and the one sheep says to the other sheep, "Hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." You get this, like there's a conversation going on between a sheep and another sheep. But verse 4, everything changes. Notice verse 4, it is no longer a conversation between some sheep. Now it's a conversation between the sheep and the shepherd. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." There's all of a sudden, there's a change. Verse 1, 2, and 3, there's like a conversation between a sheep and some other sheep. Now we have a conversation between the sheep and the shepherd. And I want you to see that tonight. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Now this is one unbelievable insurance policy. This is a protection policy like you cannot buy anywhere. I don't know how many of you may have Allstate as your insurance company. You know what their slogan is? "You're in good hands with Allstate." You guys know that one? "You're in good hands with Allstate." Well, let me tell you this. You're in good hands with the shepherd. With the shepherd. Now, maybe your insurance policy is Prudential. You know, get a piece of the rock. Well, let me encourage you to get a piece, P-E-A-C-E, of the shepherd. Get a piece of the shepherd. This is my favorite, also my insurance company, State Farm. You're in good hands. You're in good hands with the shepherd. And when the shepherd and you can trust in Him, He will protect you and He will provide for you. Now, notice the sheep. You say, you know, Brother Shutter, how do you know that this sheep is peaceful? I'll tell you how. "Yea, though I," what's the next word, everyone together? "Yea, though I walk." I've never been outside that I've been scared that I walked. If I'm outside and I'm scared, I'm running. I'm moving at least quick. I'm moving hastily. I'm moving faster. Have you ever been down a city street before that you didn't feel real good? Have you been in a neighborhood that you just got, you don't just, "Oh, I'm just walking." No. You start picking it up. This sheep is not running. And you know why? Because he's got the protection of the shepherd. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." This is not a sheep that's afraid. Now, there may be a lot of things around that sheep that he should be afraid of. Well, I've learned this in life. It's not where you're at that gives you peace. It's who's with you that gives you peace. And I will tell you, when you know and sense the shepherd's presence, there is peace and there is protection. I've given you a couple stories about my youngest son, Drew. I remember when Drew was a little older and when we were living in Florida, we had a swimming pool in the backyard. And I don't know, I think Drew was probably about 6 years old when this happened. And I was in the backyard and I was mowing the lawn. And Drew had, in our backyard, we had a trampoline, we had a little basketball court, we had a little like football field thing, we had a swimming pool. And the reason why I had all this was I wanted the kids to come to our house and play because I wanted to watch who my friends of my boys were. So I said, you know what, we're making our backyard the best backyard in the neighborhood, so all the kids wanted to come down and play at our house. And that was good. I enjoyed that. Ben had her kids. And then we had to divide up the pool. You know, it's Ben's time with his friends, it's Luke's time with his friends, and it's Drew's time. Well, this day I was mowing the lawn. They were all there. Ben's friends, Luke's friends, and Drew's friends. And Drew was the runt of the whole litter in the pool. There must have been 15, 16 people in that pool. And Drew was the smallest. Even his friends. His friends, there was a guy named Michael Getch that was one of his friends. Michael Getch today is 6'6", and he's huge. There was another guy named Grant Tuma. Grant Tuma is like 6'4", and he's over 250 pounds today. And when these kids were little, they were huge. There was this kid named Adam Purcell. Adam is just a hunk today. Well, let me tell you, you just take all those kids and make them 6 years old, they're still huge. And then you've got Luke's friends that are 3 years, 6 years older, and you got Ben's friends who are 9 years older, and you got little Drew in the pool. And I'm mowing the lawn. And they're playing the stupidest game in the world. Marco Polo, Marco Polo. That is the stupidest game in the world. I mean, they're just as if a bunch of boys are going to actually close their eyes, you know? They're knowing wherever, and they're playing Marco Polo. But I'm noticing, I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm noticing my kid's drowning. I mean, Drew is drowning. He's in there with all those kids, and they're going, Marco Polo. They're pushing him down. He's in that pool. He's swimming. I'm mowing the lawn. I'm going, my kid's getting killed in there. Man, my lawn, my boy's getting killed. Look at all those big guys in there. You know, they're all playing, and Drew's just getting beat up in that pool. And I said, you know what? I had enough of this. I stopped the lawnmower. I go in. I put my swim trunks on. And I come on out. I jump. Hey, guys, Pastor Scheller, come in with you. Oh, yeah, Pastor Scheller, come on, come on. Yeah, come on, like, come on. Yeah, let's play a little bit. I said, hey, let's do some chicken fights, okay? Oh, yeah, that'd be cool, that'd be cool. Hey, Drew, come here. And Drew comes over and he gets on my shoulder. Well, Drew just went from the weakest little runt in the pool to the biggest, strongest guy in the pool because Dad was still the bigger than all those kids. And so we started playing those chicken fights. I'm pulling those kids under, pushing them under. Hey, this is Drew's on the back going, yeah, Dad, yeah. He's having the time of his life. I'm putting these kids in. Marco Polo, Marco Polo. You know what? Drew went from the weakest kid in that swimming pool to the most powerful kid in that swimming pool because he was on Dad's shoulders. And I want to tell you, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, it's not the place, it's who's with you in the place that makes the difference. And friend, when you can go through anything, if you sense the presence of Christ in your life with you, man, I'm telling you, this is a good shepherd. And this shepherd gives you that freedom from the fears. Now, there's no fear with this guy. This sheep, look, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That doesn't mean there's not evil around. There doesn't mean that there's not dangers around. But he's not going to fear. No, I heard it. I've never counted them up, so I don't know. But I heard that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. One fear not for every day of the year. I don't know if that's true. I'll have to count that up sometime. But I've heard that said many times. But you know what? Our Lord does not want us to be fearful. And he wants to take that fear away. But you know, we got a lot of fears in our life. Some of you have the fear of losing control. Some of you have to be in control of everything. And if you're not in control and you're not running the show, you start getting fearful. And some of you have such an insecurity that you've got to be the boss. You got to be micromanaging. You got to be in control. I want you to know the good shepherd will take care of it, friend. Let it go. Some of you are destroying your marriage because of this control freak. Some of you are ruining your kids because of this control freak thing. You need to let it go. And there's such a fear. I can't let it go. I just, because if I let it go, this is going to happen. Why don't you trust the shepherd for it? Why don't you ask the shepherd to help you for it? You know what? Some of you have the fear of man. You know, old Pilate put Jesus Christ on the cross because of the fear of man. Pilate was going to let Jesus go. But when they said, you're not a friend of Caesar if you let him go. And Pilate took him. And then he thought, well, you know what? I'll scourge him. And after I scourge him, that'll take care of it. They see him. He'll be a bloody mess. And they'll let him go. You know what? Pilate of the fear of man. And some of you, you have the fear of man. People, you want, I'm going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get out there and you're intimidated. And there's a fear. You got to realize the shepherd's with you. You got to realize you don't need to have the snare of the fear of man and live for what other people think. You live for your good shepherd. You live to please him and what God has for you. Some of you have the fear of failure. You are perfectionist. And if it's not done right, there is this incredible failure fear that you have. You know, I worked with college students for over 18 years as their pastor. And it amazed me how many young people, college students, that said that they're Christian and have vibrant Christian lives and absolutely had the fear of failure. That they thought, boy, if I don't get an A on this, if this doesn't happen, if this isn't perfect, if this isn't just right, they couldn't handle that. You know what? You need to trust your good shepherd. It is your good shepherd that'll take away those fears. And then, and I think you would all agree, the passage also deals with the fear of death. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fear of death. I want to tell you what I have and what I don't have. I fly quite a bit, and I'm not a real big airplane guy. I don't like airports, and I really don't like airplanes, and I don't like their seats. And I'll tell you what else I don't like, just to be perfectly honest with you guys. I don't like air turbulence at all. That is not a fun thing for me. The other day, I was in a plane, and I was flying to Charlotte. I was going to go speak at Ambassador Baptist College. And I was flying into Charlotte, and then it was going to go to Shelby or wherever. I can't remember where we were going. But I was flying into Charlotte, and we got into a rainstorm. There was a lady next to me, and I had my Bible out. She asked me earlier, and she says, are you a minister? And I said, yes. And we talked about the Lord, and we even had a word of prayer about some things. And we had a really nice talk. I don't know if I necessarily said that I really gave her the gospel, but we had a good spiritual conversation. Coming into Charlotte about a half hour out, we hit some air turbulence. Remember, just when we started, you know, coming in on our approach, we really started to hit it. And man, we started to shake. Now, I want to tell you something. I do not have a fear of where I'm going to go when I die. I don't. I believe that I did what God's word says. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If I don't go to heaven, the Bible's not true because I did what the Bible says. My faith is in God's word, and I believe that the day I die, I'm going to be going to heaven. Not because I've been a good person, not because I'm a pastor, not because of this or anything like that. I believe I did what God's word says, and my trust and faith is in that. So I am not afraid what happens on the other side of the door called death. I know that. I just get a little fearful in how I'm going to get to the door. That's my only problem. And when I'm in that plane and that started happening, I got to tell you, I got a little scared. Well, she was over there and she was sitting there and she still had the cup was empty by that time, but she still had her thing there and she was just kind of looking out the window and I'm going, man, I wonder if she's scared. Here I'm this preacher, and I'm kind of scared. We landed, and I said, boy, that was really bumpy. I can't remember her name right now. I want to say Abby or something like that. And I said, hey, were you scared at all? She says, no. And I said, you weren't scared at all during that? She says, no, I was next to the minister. I knew. And I'm thinking to myself, I was scared. And I was next to Abby. I mean, I didn't know. But it's so funny. She said, no, I'm not scared at all because I'm next to, let me tell you something, this minister ain't going to change anything about the turbulence of that plane. But you know, it's who you're sitting next to. Are you sitting next to the good shepherd? I will tell you, death does not have to be fearful for us. Matter of fact, in the pastorate, some of the greatest moments I have ever experienced in the pastorate has been at a deathbed. There has been a joy and a peace, and I have sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit when a person's soul has gone up to heaven. And I there is not the fear of death. I don't know if this name, for some reason, when I was thinking about this afternoon, I think this guy was connected with this church years ago. Do you remember a missionary, a little guy from Colombia named Alberto Lozano? Alberto Lozano. You remember him, Doc. Alberto Lozano spoke at Pensacola Christian College way back in the 70s when I was a student there. And I'll never forget, he told us the story that he was a missionary, he was an evangelist in Colombia, South America, during a lot of the revolutions in the 70s. And he's just, I mean, he's pint size. I mean, this guy was this tall. He was just a little guy. And Alberto Lozano said that one day he was preaching in one of the big cities in Colombia and having a big crusade, and they came to get him. The gangs and the drug cartels, and they came to get him. And in the middle of the message, they started breaking the whole thing up. Alberto started running. He took off. Because he says, man, they're coming to kill me. And they did. They had guns and everything. They had said that they were going to do it. Well, sure enough, they showed up that night at one of his messages, at one of his services, and they came to get him. Alberto takes off from the pulpit and starts running off. And they start running after him. And I remember he's telling this story in college chapel. And I'm going, wow, this is like the coolest thing in the world. And he's running down these streets in the city in Colombia. And they're coming after him. And they're shooting up in the air. And they're telling him to stop. And Alberto's just running and everything. And he comes to this open area. And he falls in a culvert. And he falls down in this culvert. And he knows these guys are coming up on him. And he falls down. And he knows he's going to die. And then all of a sudden he starts thinking, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I'm going to see Jesus. And this is what I've lived for. I'm going to die in just a few seconds. And I'm going to see my Lord. And sure enough, about that time, the men came up and they got there with their guns. And Alberto Lozano started shouting at them, shoot me! Shoot me! And I never forgot, I was a counselor and I'm going, I can't believe this. And he's going, shoot me! And they're standing there, no, we ain't going to shoot you. You want to be shot. We're not going to shoot you. And I thought to myself, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For a Christian, our greatest day is the day we die and we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. This sheep is so safe. This sheep has no problems at all. But you say, Brother Shetler, then why is it called a valley? First of all, notice it's also a shadow. You know, the shadow of a dog cannot bite you. The shadow of a knife cannot stab you. And the shadow of death cannot harm you. And I find it interesting that the word shadow is mentioned. But let's talk about this word valley. You say, Brother Shelley, you can preach this all you want. The fact of the matter is, this sheep's still going through a valley. Yeah, it is. And let me tell you why. The shepherd knows that the only way to get the sheep to the higher pasture grounds, up into the mesa, we're going to find this in the next verse coming right up in just a minute, up into the higher pasture ground at the end of summer, all the ground and all the pastures are dried up and been eaten up and down in the valley. It's now time to go to higher ground. And the best way to get to higher ground is to follow the valley all the way to the top of the mesa, to the top of the top of the rock. And the best way is through the valley for three reasons. The valley is the gentlest of all the grades. I mean, think about it. We got to get to the top of the mountain. Okay, sheep, we're climbing the side of this mountain right now. No, that's okay. I think I'll take the valley route all the way up. The valley actually is the gentlest of all the grades. Number two, the valley is where the water is. If they start going up the side of a mountain, there's not going to be any water for those sheep. It may take them a couple days to get to the top, and there's no. But if they follow the valley all the way to the top, there'll be water, and it's also the best feeding part. So the fact of the matter is, I'm sitting here, and I'm studying this passage a few weeks ago, and I'm thinking to myself, the valley's not the bad thing. The valley is the best thing for this sheep. It's the gentlest of all the grades. It's the most watered of all the areas. And it's where all the food is. You know what? Sometimes God takes you in a valley. He does. Sometimes there's a valley. But can I tell you about that valley? That valley's for your good, friend. Matter of fact, think about this the next time you say, you know, I just feel like we've been in a valley financially. I just feel like we've been in a valley in our health problems. I feel like we've been in a valley in my spiritual life. Well, just hold on for a minute. What is the alternative? Climbing up the side of the mountain? You know, Lord, I think the valley's a good place. Because the valley is where I grow. The valley is where the water is. The valley is where the food is. And the valley is the gentlest of all the grades to the top. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, tonight, I brought my rod and my staff. Now, I've always wondered about those two words. Why are there two things? Why is there a rod and there is a staff? Now, one thing that's interesting, many of you, as you know anything about the Bible, you know that there's Moses' rod. Now, I always thought of Moses' rod being more like this, the shepherd. But this is the staff, and this is the rod. Let me talk to you for just a moment about the rod, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the staff. The rod is more like the size of a scepter. Now see, I got to tell you, this really messes up my Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, and all that, because I got him with this big, you know, Moses rod, and I even have a Moses rod that I use. That is not, a rod was more, and by the way, this is probably a long rod. It's probably even shorter than this. It's more of a shorter piece. It's more of a scepter type. And I say a scepter because on the front and the top of it, there's like a mallet. And it's kind of soft and yet hard. And he can hit the sheep or with combat against other wolves or coyotes or whatever comes in. Then the other end is a very sharp pointed end on the rod. So the rod is actually a tool, or shall we say a weapon of defense. But sometimes the shepherd will use the rod to prod the sheep. The rod isn't made for that. It's made for more of a protection thing, of a weapon. But he'll use it on the sheep if they're not behaving right. And he'll use the other end and kind of club them a little bit, especially if they're button heads or whatever, and he didn't get time to put the oil on the horns or whatever. He'll use the other end to butt. That's the rod. The staff is interesting. These are the two things the shepherd goes with. The rod is for correction, and the staff is for comfort. Notice the hook in the thing. That will get the sheep right around the neck. And that'll bring, come here. You're getting a little far away from me. You need to stay closer to the shepherd. You know? And it's more of a comforting. This is when you're doing wrong. Go sit down, okay? Go sit down. Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome, brother. You can follow me around there. Amen. But the staff is for comfort. It brings the sheep close to him. It guides the sheep. It's for comfort. Hey, get away from him. Get away. Get away from that hole. That's a gopher hole. You don't want to be in that gopher hole. Get over here. The staff was for comfort and for guidance. The rod was for protection and for correction. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, you're in Psalm 23. You've got to turn. There's two passages tonight you have got to turn to. This one is Zechariah chapter 11, verse 7. Zechariah 11, 7. I had never seen this verse before, but when I saw it, it meant so much to me. Listen to this. There's two things going on, and they both comfort. You know, a good teacher will give correction, and it will give, and a good teacher will set their boundaries that the student knows, you don't do this in this class, woo-woo, Miss So-and-so doesn't let you do that. And you know what? That actually is comforting because they know where they can go. They know their boundaries. The rod actually gives comfort, and the staff give comfort. I know my shepherd's got the rod. Nothing's coming in, man. A lion comes in here, he can handle that rod. He will kill that lion if that comes in here. Boy, I'll tell you what. And I know if I get out of line, if I start going over there, that rod's going to hit me. So I'm going to, it actually is a comforting. And then the staff gives the guidance and the, hey, we're going this way. Come on, you get away from that ravine. Let me pull you a little closer over this way. Look at Zechariah 11, 7. And I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staffs. Rod, staff. I took unto me two staffs. What are they called? The one is called beauty, and the other I called bands. And I fed the flock. Isn't that a beautiful verse? He says, I took two staffs. I took a rod and a staff, and one I called beauty. That's my comfort. And the other I call bands. That's my protection. That's my weapon. And I'm going to feed the flock with that. I'm going to get them into other pasture land. Tonight, I want you to understand the protection that you have from Jehovah God. Your Jehovah God, when it says, Lord, I need help, it's okay, give it to me. I'll take care of you. But not only his protection, but real quickly, we got to look at the next verse and see his provision. Psalm 23 and verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. At the end of the summer, it is time to move the flock from one pasture all the way to the top of the mountain. Now, the mountain is cut off at the top. It is a mesa. The Spanish word for a table is mesa. The Hebrew word for table is mesa. And there's two African languages that use mesa as their word for table. And if you've ever been I've been to Colorado, if you've ever been to Mesa Verde before, it is a mesa, it's a green table rock. And at the top, there was an Indian civilization that planted all of their crops, and they lived on the top. They lived on the side of the mountain, and they put all their crops on the top of that mountain, and it was incredibly defensive. I don't know, how many of you have been to Mesa Verde before? Anyone? Oh, there's a few of you. Okay. Beautiful area. It's a national park, matter of fact. Mesa Verde, the green table. Well, let me tell you what happens in the late summer. The shepherd will get somebody to help him for a couple days. He'll call him a hireling. And he says, now listen, I got to go check on some fields that I scouted out in the spring. I want you to take care of the sheep for the next couple days because I'm going to be gone. I've got to go prepare the mesa. So he leaves his sheep in a kind of a makeshift fold, and he leaves them with a hireling. And the shepherd climbs up through the valley to the very top of the mesa, and he begins to check it out. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, those are poisonous. Our sheep start eating that. Because sheep can't discern. They'll eat whatever I put in front of them. And those are poisonous there. That we got to get that. Look at those gopher holes. Somebody is going to stick their hoof in that gopher hole. We got to. And the shepherd goes through the whole mesa and he prepares the table. He gets it all ready for when the sheep arrive. He pulls out all the poisonous weeds. He takes care. He makes sure there's no coyotes up there. He makes sure there's no lions around. He's going to go back down. He's going to get his sheep. But he has prepared the table. Listen to what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Wow. He gets it all ready. I want to take, and I'll go through it quickly, but I want to take the word table for just a minute. T-A-B-L-E. And I want you to tell you what he prepares. First of all, he prepares. His provision is always timely. It is always right on time. Have you ever noticed that with God's provision? Sometimes when we're stretched out, we say, God, I don't think I can go any further. God shows up and gives just what we need right at the right time. You know, I think of the story of Abraham offering Isaac. I mean, talk about timely, all right? He's got the knife over his son ready to come down, and the angel of the Lord says, Abraham. I always thought it was interesting he had to say it twice. He says, Abraham, Abraham. He's stretched out. So often in my ministry, so often in my life, I have been stretched to the very limit, and I said, God, I can't go any further. I know. Now I'm ready to provide. God's provision always seems to be timely. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, there's a time for everything under his sun, and everything is made beautiful in his time. It is a timely provision when we're stretched out. You know, it's a timely provision when we're drained out, when we're just drained, and we just say, God, there's nothing else left. I know. Now I'm ready to provide. God does this so that he gets all the glory. Think about it for a minute. Remember the story about Elijah down at the brook Cherith? And he's there every day. He goes out and he gets a little more water and the ravens bring the food and he gets a little more water and he's there for a few months and he's going, you know, there's not much water in this brook. And then there's a day that the Bible says the brook dried up. Well, Lord, there ain't no more water. I know. Now I want you to go to Zarephath and a widow will show you. I didn't want to tell you till just now. I prepared the way. I provided the way. And his timing is just when we're drained out, when we're weary, when we're stretched out. God's timing is perfect in his provision. Look back over your life. One of the greatest things is not only what God's provided, but when God provided it. It was at a time when you just said, Lord, please now. Look back over your life. See the timely provision of the shepherd. Number two, not only is it timely, it's arranged ahead of time. Boy, I love Genesis chapter 50. One of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible is Joseph. Matter of fact, I get preached a message here on Joseph a year or so ago at a Bible conference. I love the story of Joseph. It says in Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Do you know that God arranged ahead of time the whole thing with Joseph? I'm going to get, because there's going to be a famine. And I got to have my people taken care of. So I'm going to get Joseph over to Egypt some years early. I'm going to raise him to the top. And God arranges ahead of time. Have you ever noticed that in your life? Have you ever prayed for something? And after you saw the answer to prayer, you saw, you know what? God, you answered that prayer before I even started praying for it. That's right. He arranged ahead of time what was going to happen. That's the kind of shepherd that he has provided. Number three, he does it with blessings. His provision is timely. His provision is arranged ahead of time. And his provision is a blessing. And I'll tell you why it's blessing. Because of the details and because of the delight. He just handles all of those details perfect. One of my favorite books of the Bible is the book of Esther. Our high school put on the story of Esther as our senior play a couple years ago. And I love the story of Esther. And the story of Esther is all how God provided for his people. And his name isn't even mentioned in the whole book. The whole book of Esther, God's name's not even mentioned. But God's working the details. You have a king. The most powerful person in the world, he can't sleep one night. So he gets up one night, he says, man, I can't sleep. Servants, come. Bring the chronicles, bring the records of all the things that have been happening. Start reading them to me. I'm sure that'll put me to sleep. Go ahead. So they bring it out. They open it up. Can you imagine? There's got to be books. There's got to be scrolls. They go, oh, let's see, Let's pick this one. This one looks like sleepy time stuff. Let's go ahead and pick this one. They start reading it. They just happen to be reading it in the place where Mordecai saved the king's life. And this king's trying to go to sleep, and he hears this story about these two guys were going to try to assassinate the king, and he's waking up more. And then he starts hearing about Mordecai that told somebody that let him know, and they were able to stop the assassin before it happened. And the king says, wait. Have we ever repaid this guy, Mordecai, for what he did? No, king, I don't believe we ever have. It is pivotal in the story. And yet God works out the details. Everything the Lord does is such a blessing. Now, I will tell you, I love that song that Paul sang tonight. God's been good. As I look back over my life, the thing that amazes me is the goodness of God in the little details of my life. How about yours? And the delights that he's given to us. Oh, he has given us so much delight. His provision is timely. His provision is arranged. His provision is a blessing. His provision is long-lasting. When God does something, he doesn't put Band-Aids on it. God does what he does are for eternal things. And when God provides something in our life, it's not just a little temporal thing. There's an eternal thing behind it. You know a story I love? You know the story about Bartimaeus, the blind guy? I think this is one of the funniest moments in the Bible. They bring Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is crying out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And then finally, Jesus stops. He said, "Bring him to him." And I think that's interesting. Jesus didn't go to Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus came to him. And so Bartimaeus, a blind man, leaves his coat behind. No blind man, the coat is the most precious item that he has. No blind man would ever leave their coat behind unless they thought they were going to get their eyesight, okay? So the blind man leaves his coat behind and he comes to Jesus. This is a great one. I just love my Lord. He's just got a sense of humor and everything. So we've got this blind man that has been led to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, "Bartimaeus, what would you like for me to do for you? Why don't you give me 4 shekels? Well, that'll be a good deal." What is that? What kind of question is that? He stopped the whole thing. It's a beggar. It's obvious that he's blind. He comes to them, and Jesus asked him, "What should I do for you?" "Well, if you just give me a few shekels, I'll be okay." "No, I need my eyesight." Isn't that interesting that he even asked the question? The Lord doesn't give temporal blessings. The Lord gives eternal blessings. They're long-lasting. It wasn't shekels that Bartimaeus needed. It was his eyesight. God sometimes will put you through a situation that you say, "God, I don't think this is an answer." Listen. I'm putting this thing together so it's long-lasting. "Yeah, but right now, my marriage, I think I'm going to lose my husband. I think I'm going to lose my wife." No, you're not. I'm doing this thing out that right now it may seem like it, but I'm making a long-lasting thing what I'm going to do. It's long-lasting, and then finally, and I love this one, his provision is timely, it's arranged ahead, it's a blessing, it's long-lasting, and his provision is always enough. It's always exactly what we need. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, "My grace is sufficient for you." When you see the provision of the shepherd, you go, "Oh Lord, that was exactly what I needed." His grace, there is all kinds of grace. There is waiting grace. There is traffic grace. There is shopping grace. There is financial grace. There is dying grace. There is teaching grace. There is every kind of grace. And whenever he gives his grace, it is sufficient. It is exactly what you need. Now, let me tell you what it's not. It's not for tomorrow. And some of you are worried about things tomorrow and you don't have grace for tomorrow. He's only given you the grace for today. When he prepares the table, his grace is sufficient. It is enough. "Oh, Brother Shetler, this has been good tonight. We've learned about a protecting Lord, a good shepherd, and we've learned about a providing shepherd." Man, that's good stuff. This is kind of warm and fuzzy tonight. And it's been so good to hear about the protecting shepherd and the providing shepherd. You're not leaving yet. Take your Bibles, and we close with this. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. When I saw this, I thought, wait a second here. We can sing about God's been good. We can sing, "And Can It Be?" We can hear about a shepherd that protects us. We can hear about a shepherd that provides for us, and we can go back into our cars and go like, "Why wasn't that just good tonight? All those things we learned about the shepherd, that rod, that staff thing, that was really nice." No. You have to do something about this protecting, providing God. You are responsible, and there has to be the right kind of reaction. When I saw this verse, this came when I was doing my study for this passage. I was doing my, I do the 1-year Bible, and I was in Psalm 78. And this was the reading that I had for the week that I was putting this message together on verse number 5. And I couldn't believe it when I saw these verses. Look at Psalm 78 and look at verse 19. Now he's kind of going through Israel's history, and he says this, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" I went, whoa. Can God provide for me? Oh, maybe he can provide for Pastor Tim. Oh, he'll provide for, you know, Brother Kyle. You know, he'll provide, you know, he provides for the Rasmussens, you know. But can God provide for me? Can he furnish a table for me in the wilderness? Can he take care of me? And they doubted God. Now, you cannot just come in here, hear a little warm and fuzzy message about your shepherd being a provider and a protector, and walk out of here. Look at verse 21. Therefore, because they questioned whether or not God could provide and protect for them in the wilderness and provide a table, therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and the anger also came up against Israel. Hey, I want to tell you this. You do have a God that wants to open up the pickle jar, man. You've got a God who wants to protect you. You have a God that wants to provide for you, and you need to believe in that. And if tonight, and you know, I think of the whole thing with the leg. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I have no idea. But you know what? Romney or Obama is not our answer. It is the Good Shepherd that is our answer. It is the Lord that will provide for us and will protect. It is not, oh, I love the United States military. Oh, there is no military in the world like our military. But I will tell you, it is ultimately the Good Shepherd that will provide and protect for us. It is the Good Shepherd. You know, praise the Lord for Faith Baptist Church. But it is not Faith Baptist Church's job to provide and protect you. It is the job of the Good Shepherd. And if you go away and you say, oh, okay, that was, oh yeah, I learned a bunch of stuff, and you know, he's a provider and he's a protector. Maybe for Shuttler he is, but will he furnish me a table in the wilderness? I will tell you, you be careful, because God's judgment is on you. If you leave here tonight and you doubt what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you and what this shepherd can do for you. And by the way, you think about this. If you are here tonight and you're not saved, and you say, oh, that was all, oh, that was really interesting. Oh, I never heard about the shepherd and all that, but I'm not going to receive Christ. You have turned your back on a shepherd who has provided salvation and has protected you from the fires of hell. And if you doubt that he could save you, my friend, you have the wrath of God upon you. And some of you do not, you know, you can sit and listen to this, but do you believe that he will provide for you? Right now, you're going through a difficult time financially. Right now, you're going through some medical things. Do you believe he can furnish a table for you in the wilderness? Do you believe he can provide and he can protect? If you do not, I think the wrath of God is upon you. I think the judgment of God is upon you if you do not believe that this is a good shepherd. But if you reject his goodness, if you reject his provision, and you say, well, I'm not rejecting him. By your unbelief, you are. By your doubt, you are. And friend, it's more than just learning about the shepherd. What are you going to do about this providing, protecting shepherd? Will you trust him in your marriage, your family, your children? Will you protect them? Will you trust them? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.